Well, good evening. It is great to see everyone this evening. Thank you for choosing to be here tonight. Think about festivities of later, the Bible Bowl and the fellowship meal. I would invite you, if you would please, open your Bibles to Psalm 19. Excuse me. Psalm 19. Can you think about being led in that leadership role of, especially I think of a lot of times our homes. And I think about that leadership role of dads and moms, leadership role of, and the responsibilities they have in being that leadership role. And you think about within the church, the fact that we have our elders and they are to make sure that we are, as the church, spiritually fed. That the things that are being taught, the things that are preached, are in accordance with God's will. And that, for me anyway, I don't stand before you just spouting off matters of opinion or what I think, you know, we need to do in order to be right. We think about places like Psalm 119 and verse 105, where we think about the Word of God, that it is, your Word is a lamp to my feet and that light to my path, that it illuminates what I do. And my responsibility then is to make sure that I'm following after the Word of God, that I'm doing the things that God would have me to do. You think about the Proverbs writer. You think about Solomon and all of his wisdom and the things that he writes. And you think about those Proverbs in Proverbs 3, beginning in verse 5. He says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path." And so that leadership, making sure that what is happening and taking place in our lives is that it's God's word that we're following after. That it's not, well, this guy said that or this person said this. Instead, it's making sure that that standard we all follow is the same standard. And here in Psalm 19, beginning in verse 7, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward." Now, you guys know that I'm a big fan of the why. I love it when we can look at God's word and we can understand why these things are important for us. And here, it's just verse after verse. And within those verses, what we see each time, notice that the law of the Lord is perfect. Well, what's the result of that being perfect? It is what converts the soul. It is what restores the soul to that proper place with God, that proper relationship. It's why in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That's the saving power, right? It's why Paul in Romans 1 and verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes." And therefore, that's the converting part. When we look at God's word and we pay attention to the role that it plays in our life, we are to be led by it. It is what that true word of God, that purity of it. You continue on there in verse 7, that the testimony of the Lord is sure. And the result of that surety makes wise the simple, so that we can understand what God would have us to do to be right with him. And so this evening, we're going to spend a lot of time here in Psalm 19, but a couple places I'd like to go first. Keep your finger here at Psalm 19, and we'll come back to it. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. We think about God's word and being led by it. Notice beginning in verse 1, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you'll understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom from his mouth and knowledge and understanding." That's what God gives. You see it? My responsibility then is to seek it. My responsibility is to seek out those things. This week, I've been able to talk to a few people, but these guys are, you know, Brian's got his chickens already and their eggs are going, and that process and things are already taking place. There's a couple more guys that are getting ready to start that process this week. Jordan's going to be getting that process going for himself. You know what? He doesn't just hope for the best. He had a few conversations with people. Try to understand everything. Why? Is it important for success? You know that when we think about when it comes to God's word, those chickens going to get you to heaven? No, they're not. He has a great understanding of that. But at the same time, these are the things he's going to be doing to support his family. When you think about our responsibility is leadership, and in that leadership role of taking care of and providing for our family, as you all well know, that's not the easiest thing, is it? There are nights and things that we get kept up by because of things that are happening and going on. But the greatest thing I think about is the responsibility at all times to make sure that my family is walking right with God. And you know, that conversation, it's with Him. Praying to Him. And crying out. Notice there, verse 3, if you cry out for discernment, lift up your voice for understanding. Think about James chapter 1, that if I want wisdom, who am I supposed to talk to? Do I go talk to my buddy, find out? No, I talk to God, who gives all liberally, because that's what he wants, is for us to be right with him. And you think about this guiding and being guided by the word of God. The incredible part is, and one of the most comforting things that we can take from all of Scripture, is we're never alone. Is that God is always there. We can have that understanding. We can understand what He would have us to do. In verse 6, I think Proverbs 2:6, one of the most powerful verses that we see. Why? Because the Lord gives wisdom. And His mouth, from His mouth come knowledge and understanding. From His Word. Now I know that we strive getting into the Word of God to understand it and to understand it better and better. I love commentaries to be able to read them, because a lot of times they give you better understanding. I love Bible classes. I love Bible classes because we can openly have discussions and we can make sure that we get to the bottom of things to be able to understand them. Not to understand what I think they mean, but to understand what God is saying. And so we can look at what God would have us to do. We can have that understanding, because that, from Proverbs 2 and verse 6, is where all of that comes from. It comes from God and us being able to follow after Him. Staying in Proverbs, go to chapter 6 for just a moment. Proverbs chapter 6, beginning in verse 20. "My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. When you awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is a lamp and the law is a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life." They're what keep you in line. We've been talking the last few Sunday mornings in Bible class. Billy's been looking at Joshua chapter 1, that we don't turn to the right or to the left, right? Do you see that lamp here in verse 23? You see that light and what it does? The commandment is a lamp, the law is a light. These things shine brightly. This is not some dull little light that you're trying to be able to gauge by. These are a beacon that you can see and understand, so that we know how to be led. We know the things that we are to do, so that we stay correct with God. Again, those reproofs, those corrections that come, not according to what you or I think is best, but according to His word. Do you see the way that it's described there? Look at verse 23. Look what it says about the word of God. The commandment, this is God's commands, are a lamp. The law, His law, a light. These are the things that we stay in and instructed by. Notice, this is in the home. Fathers and mothers, keeping those commandments, those instructions that we have been given, so that we stay true to the course. Go with me back to Psalm 19. And you think about the Word of God and all that it does. In verse 8, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Right, rejoicing the heart. God's statutes, those commandments, His word, are right, rejoicing the heart. When we follow after them, and I often think about as a kid, one of the things that if I did something right, or I did, even if I wasn't instructed that way, but I did something that was right, somebody else, maybe it was a parent or an instructor, somebody I looked up to. Hey, great job. Good job doing the right thing. That's the rejoicing. Following those commands. You picture God as we follow His commands and do so, that He's telling us you've done well. And those are the things that rejoice the heart, because the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening of the eyes. Again, His commands. Nothing, there's no agenda, no ulterior motive, nothing about them that is untrustworthy, nothing about them ever do we see from God that would have the slightest amount of darkness, anything that would be questionable at all in any way, shape, or form. All of God's commands are pure. All of them enlighten the eyes. Again, they open us so that we can understand and have that wisdom. Look with me, if you would, please. You can keep your finger here at Psalm 19. But go to 2 Peter chapter 1. You think about this Word of God. And that's it. It is what guides us. It is what lights our way. 2 Peter chapter 1. Beginning in verse 16. Peter writes, "For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to Him from the excellent glory, 'This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with Him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." Do you see there in verse 19 that prophetic word that we have confirmed, okay, eyewitnesses that He is talking about of who He is, that holy word, prophetic word is confirmed, which you do well to heed, notice, as a light that shines in the darkness. That light that shines, it illuminates, because as He began in verse 16, we're not turned aside to any of these fables, cunningly devised plans of man. No, we follow the Word of God. Peter says, look, we told you about Jesus. We were eyewitnesses of Him. We saw Him in His glory, His majesty on that holy mountain in Matthew 17, the Mount of Transfiguration. We saw Him. We beheld Him in His glory, that transformed state that He was in. We listened as God the Father told us, "This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." This is why you do well to take this word that has been confirmed and let it shine as a light in your life, because this didn't come from man. All of this came from God. Every word that we read, every word that we are led by, these the scriptures, the commands, statutes, the law of God that we get into didn't come by man. Wasn't devised by man. It's all from God. Therefore can be that light, has the ability to be that light. If it just comes because I think it's what is best, guess what? It's not going to get you there. Go back to Psalm 19. It's not going to get you there. As the psalmist writes, and this section of scripture, as far as the Psalms go, one of my favorites, because when you really, again, you break this down, you look at it, and what we see is, as David, who this psalm has been attributed to, you think about his life and being right with God, and we've watched through his life the times that he has had such courageous battles, victories because of God, like over Goliath. And we watch as he just stumbles head over heels with Bathsheba, and he is out. At least 9 months, he is out of the light. If he would have died at that point in time, his soul was lost. When Nathan comes to talk to him, to tell him, "You are that man. You see all of a sudden David, the awakening that happens and takes place. And as he repents, and you can go to Psalm 51 and read it, but as he repents of what he has done, Nathan even tells him, "Your sins are forgiven. You're in a right standing once more with God." To be in that right standing with God is nothing greater. And so as you read these words and think about the one that is writing them and how pure it is to get all of this from God and allow that to guide your life, think about that reverence that comes, the place that he holds God. Go to verse number 9 here of Psalm 16. "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever." The fear of the Lord, to revere him, to place him in that proper place. Again, you think about this, there is nothing wrong with that, right? Galatians chapter 5, oftentimes on Sunday evenings, we'll sing the song of what the fruit of the Spirit is. Galatians 5 and verse 22. Verse 23 finishes to tell us, "Against such there is no law." Meaning that there is nothing wrong with exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit, having that godly reverence to do as God would have us to do at all times. There's nothing wrong with that. There's no law against that, to demonstrate love, joy, peace. Those are the things that God expects us to do. And when we follow His expectations, we get to be right with Him. And so to have that reverence, knowing all that God did, we think about places perhaps like John 3 and verse 16, that he demonstrates the greatest love by sending the greatest gift, who gave the greatest sacrifice that the greatest number of people would be able to spend eternity in heaven with him. But my responsibility within that verse is to demonstrate the greatest faith I possibly can. And that starts with that reverence for him. That reverence for him demonstrates it is clean, the fear of the Lord, clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Again, I love that phrase that we use often, that you can't get any aller than all. His judgments and his commandments. Never would God ask us to do anything that would go against his will. Never would God require of us something that would be unholy or ungodly. And as I follow them, notice in verses 10 and 11, this is the results. When I follow those, what happens? "Moreover, they are to be desired than gold, than much fine gold, sweeter than honey and the honeycomb." Pure and desirable to follow after them and to allow them to be able to be what leads me in my life. No, notice verse 11. "Moreover, by them your servant is warned." You know, we speak about this often, perhaps use this illustration often. Your parents ever warn you the stove's hot? Anybody else like me touched it? I tell my kids, during the winter, when there's ice on the ground, don't walk with your hands in your pockets. If you slip, you got nothing to be able to catch you. You know, my parents warned me that same thing. I don't know. So I walked with my hands in my pockets. You know what happened on that ice? I slipped and fell. And it hurt because I didn't have anything to catch me. At that point in time, I was a younger boy and I didn't look like this and I had no padding. And it hurt. It didn't feel good. You know what my parents said? Told you. They didn't come over and grab me and be like, oh, I'm so sorry. Told you. And I thought, well, that's real loving. No, they were loving. You know why? Because they told me. I already told you not to do that. By them, the commandments of God. What God says to us is, if you follow these, the reward that you'll receive is a great reward. In fact, it's the greatest reward that you could ever receive. If you don't, you're going to spend eternity separated from me. But that's the choice that you've already made. You decided that. God didn't decide, hey, I really don't want to spend eternity with Corey. No, he does. That's why he sent Jesus. I do want to spend eternity with you. And in fact, Corey, I've given you these things that you could have the brightest light you could imagine, brighter than the sun, illuminating your path and your light so that you could live with me for all eternity. I'm never going to ask you to do anything that isn't right. I'm never going to require of you anything. I'm not going to be shady in any way, shape, or form and make you try to guess. Now, this is right and wrong, black and white. You can follow after this. It can guide your life if you allow it to. The last sentence of verse 11. Notice what the psalmist writes. And in keeping them, there's great reward. In keeping them, there's great reward. So if I keep God's commandments, His statutes, His law, if I follow after them, in keeping them, there's great reward. The idea here is the greatest reward you could ever imagine. That's what comes. Look with me at Matthew chapter 7. I want you to think about these words of Jesus and think about them in your life this evening. Matthew chapter 7. We're going to begin in verse 21. Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." You see that? He who does it, that's the keeping. "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." You have been warned. You have read my commandments. You have not kept them. Blessed is he who does it. Verse 24. "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine," again, "and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew that beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock." You see the other side of it beginning in verse 26. "But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." Do you understand that between Matthew 7, here in verse number 27, and in Psalm 19, in the last sentence of verse 11, there is a vast chasm? In keeping them, there's great reward. Failing to do so will be the greatest fall you've ever seen. Those two things, that's the opposite ends of the spectrum. I can choose to do it, or I can choose not to. But that choice is mine. Tonight, that choice is yours. It's our choice every day when we get up. It's our choice all throughout the day as we live our life. Which one will I choose? Will I follow those commandments and allow them to be that light to my path? Will I follow after them that they enlighten me, they're pure, They're good. They're wholesome altogether. His judgments are righteous. Or, well, I choose to try to do things my own way. Those choices are mine. We get to make them every day. Tonight, I would ask you to think about you. What do you choose? Which one of these paths are you on? Are you on the one that leads to everlasting life, that great reward? Or is there something you need to do in your life to change, to be right with God? This evening, I'd ask you to be honest with yourself and think about if there's something in your life that needs to change, something that we can help you with so that you can be right with God, whether that's to become a child of God or to renew that stance that you already have taken as a child of God. Perhaps you have allowed that to waver, going back to the things in this life that are not godly and are not right, and there are things you need to make right. Tonight, if we can help you in any way, we'd ask you to come now as together we stand and sing the song that's been selected.